Well, I sure enjoy the music here at Fairhaven. It's just awesome. Several years ago, I spoke at a preaching conference, and God had led me to prepare a message on the subject of pride. The night before I was supposed to preach, I was sitting right back over here somewhere, and I always turn my cell phone off. I always do. But that particular night, my cell phone went off right when the guy is preaching. And everybody turned and looked, and I did too. I did, you know. And I was thinking about it, that God has a way of humbling us. And I believe that God wanted to humble me a little bit before I preached on the subject of pride. You know, this year in school, six of my grandkids will be in school this fall here at Fairhaven. And five of them are boys. And they all love basketball. And I was just thinking, you know, they all go out for basketball. There may be an opportunity that all five of the kids on the court for Fairhaven would be Bottrell's grandkids. And I thought, man, what a wonderful thing. Well, I thought, man, I'd sure be a proud grandpa. However, Joe, David's third son that's supposed to be here this fall, anyway, he broke his leg yesterday and had a four-hour operation today to put it together and so on. And I believe he's still coming to college, but he's not going to be able to play basketball, I don't think, unless they play some awful bad teams. You know. So, but God again was helping Roger Bottrell's pride to get at least closer to where it's supposed to be. Not that it'll ever be there, but I'm working on it. It's a joy to preach at Fairhaven. It's a joy to preach to a bunch of people that pay attention when you're preaching. And I was thinking, somebody up there in a prayer meeting that I was in a while ago said, man, we had an awesome offering Sunday. And I thought, well, I don't have anything to do tonight then, if everybody's already given. Because I'm assigned as supposed to be preaching on the subject of giving. But you know, time to preach on giving is when everybody's doing it. However, in a crowd this size, there's got to be a few backslidden people, a few stingy guts, a few God robbers, a few people that don't believe that tithing's scriptural. And of course, they're idiots. And they probably won't pay much attention to the rest of my message tonight anyway because of that. But you know, over the years, my wife and I, we've been kind of known as the people that can get something for nothing. And you know that over the years, there's really a lot of truth to that. But my kids, they make a joke out of it. They say, just have my dad go get it. They'll say, hey, how much can we pay you to take it? But do you know that one of the reasons that my wife and I have been able to give to the Lord over the years is because God has helped us to figure out how to make a dollar go a long, long ways. And we've worked at it and worked at it and worked at it. And some people think maybe we're cheap, but God has blessed and we've been able to give a lot to the Lord too. And I praise the Lord for that. There's been times in my life when I've had to live on very, very little income and make ends meet. And so I want to begin tonight with just a few suggestions. Now, you may not be interested in any of them, but I want to give you just a few hints on how to get more from a dollar. The purpose, though, is not necessarily that you take all of my ideas, but the purpose is to get your mind working and thinking about how you can make a dollar go further than it goes. Obviously, you can't give any dollars to the Lord if you don't have any dollars. You have to have something in order to give something. And the problem is most of us have a little bit, but we usually, a lot of times, we want to spend it on something else. And so I'm just going to mention a few things to get your mind working, hopefully in the near future, to help you to handle money a little bit better. One is, don't buy on impulse. A lot of people go to the store, oh, look at that, man, that's cheap. Boy, I'm going to get that. And you buy it, and you put it in a drawer, and 10 years goes by, and you never have even used it. When you go grocery shopping, don't go to the grocery store hungry. That's stupid because you'll buy all kinds of stuff that'll fill your tummy up. And you'll buy stuff and pay more for things when you're hungry than... And so the best thing to do is eat a bunch just before you go to the grocery store. Then carry a calculator with you so you can figure out which are the best prices. Decide before you go to the store how much you have budgeted for something. And then don't go over the budget. Don't go over the amount that you have. You ought to have an eating out budget. So you know how much, and don't go over that budget either. You may not be able to go to some place like Outback. You might have to go to the cheap hamburger place or something, you know. But read paper for sales. Take advantage of coupons. Cook what you use. And then if you have leftovers, save the leftovers and use them later. I have a relative that never eats any leftovers. If they have steak and they have two or three steaks left, they throw them in the trash. I think, man, send them to me. You know? But they live all the way in the West Coast, so by the time they got here, they probably wouldn't be too good. But... clothing, buy off season. Never buy in season. If you need a jacket, buy it when it's 90 degrees outside. Then you can get a $100 jacket for $3 or $4 or $10 or something like that, you know, rather than buy it in season and paying through the nose for it. If you're up to it and are able to, sometimes you can get something at a good deal at a secondhand store. Do you know that some of the secondhand stores sell new stuff? Sometimes they have brand new things still in the package and so on, and you can buy it for the thrift store price. Stay within your budget on clothes. Utilities, turn your lights out when you're not using them. Look for leaks in your water faucets and things like that and fix the leaks. Use air and heat only when you're needed them and don't have it hotter or colder than what you need. Don't hold the refrigerator door open. Seal air leaks in doors and windows, especially in the wintertime. You could use lesser watt light bulbs in especially rooms that you don't use very much or you don't need a lot of light in. Forget fashions and keeping up with the Joneses. If you keep your old stuff, it'll be back in season in a year or two anyway. You know, it used to be that, you know, everybody wore a thin tie. But then when they sold all of those they could do, then they made them wide and said, wide ties are in. And then everybody bought wide ties. And then they go back to medium ties. Then they go to thin, you know. And so don't worry about keeping up with the Joneses all the time. If there's anybody here named Jones, I'm sorry about that. Credit cards, if you can't control them, cut them up. And maybe you ought to let somebody else in the family decide whether you can control them or not. You know, maybe the wife or maybe the husband. One of them have to decide for the other one, maybe. Pay the total amount that you charge every month. Then you don't have to pay any interest. If you charge too much, then you won't be able to pay the whole thing. Never pay just the minimum amount. Study a little bit so you can understand interest rates a little bit and find out how much you're paying. You buy something on sale and you don't have the cash, so you buy it on credit. By the time you're done paying for it, you've paid more than it was when it wasn't on sale. Car expenses. Plan trips to the store. Make notes. so that you don't forget and leave half the stuff at the store that you wanted to purchase. And then you have to make two or three trips to the store to get what you want to get. And then you waste all that gas. The higher the gas price gets, the more you're likely to do that. Accelerate slowly when you're driving a car, rather than just pushing it to the floor and laying a bunch of rubber, teenagers. You know, you're wasting a lot of gas when you do that. I was riding with a guy one time, and it drove me nuts riding in his car because we were going a long way, and he would speed up, and then he would slow down, and then he would speed up, and then he'd slow down. He'd speed up, and he'd slow down. He'd speed. The whole trip was just, and I thought, good night. You need to either set your cruise control or hold your foot in the same place. You know, maybe you have Parkinson's or something there, and you're messing up or whatever. But you know that you use a lot more gas when you speed up and slow down, so you can save money there. Then also, shop around for a car whenever you're getting ready to purchase a car, and try to save cash and pay cash for a car if you possibly can. You say, man, nobody can save up $60,000 or $70,000. You don't need a $60,000 or $70,000 car. You drive it off the lot, it already lost $10,000 or $15,000 just driving it off the lot. So let somebody else take that depreciation and buy a car with 5,000 or 6,000 miles on it or something, and you get it for $10,000 or $20,000 less. So then, or you can buy an old junker and get it for $1,000 and then work on it every day. It'll keep you out of trouble, keep you out of jail, you know, and so on. But if you're going to fly somewhere, plan ahead, you know, and shop ahead. And, you know, airline prices, I just flew to Baltimore and back just this past week. And do you know the airplane tickets, some of them were $200 or $300 or $400 more than the one I finally purchased. So don't take the first one you get that you find. Look around and get a good deal. On household items, get things on sale. Many times there's overstock items. And I'm writing a book. If I live to be 100 years old, I might get it done. But anyway, it's on how small churches can build buildings and not go in debt. But how good Christians can be members of churches and not owe everybody in the country. That would be a good thing to think about. You know, you can't give because if you gave, you're spending more money than you have. There's many, many other ways that you can save money. So use your imagination. Well, the judge said, I noticed then in addition to stealing money, you also took rings and watches and diamonds and pearls. And the prisoner said, yes, sir. I was always taught that money alone does not buy happiness. You know, people are always trying to find a way to get rich. I've learned a foolproof way that everybody here can be rich. What you do is you buy 50 female pigs. And then you buy 50... male deer. Put them together, you'll have $100,000. My dad was a Christian, a good Christian. He loved the Lord, and he tithed and gave to the Lord regularly. And I don't know what happened. He taught me by example when I was in growing up that he was a giver. And also, he never worked on Sunday. I had an uncle that his name was Edgar, and he farmed about 3 miles from us. And he would fertilize about the same amount on his crops my dad would. He would generally plant his crops about the same day that my dad would. He always worked on Sunday and he didn't go to church. And he didn't tithe. But my dad didn't work on Sunday. And he did tithe. And every year, and it was in central Illinois, good ground. Both of us had, both my dad and my uncle had good grounds. And every year, my dad's crops would yield more than my uncle's would yield. what God was doing was providing his tithes and offerings over and above, because he honored God with this increase. Now, if someone you did not know heard about you and you died, and they were given the task of writing a biography of you, and the only thing that was given to them to write about you was your checkbook, what would they write about you if all the information they had came from your checkbook? There have been several books written about people that died and what they said, the last things that they said before they died. I think that's very interesting, and I've read some of those, and so said, do you know the guy that, it was either the Hilton Hotel or one of those big hotels like that, the guy that started those things died, but before he died, the last thing that he said was, be sure to have them put the shower curtain in the tub before they take a shower. Man, that is important, isn't it? Live a whole life, and that's the most important thing you could think of. But, you know, people, though, when they're about ready to die, they try to think of important things to tell their loved ones and tell their friends and things like that. Do you know, the Apostle Paul was preaching. He was preaching to the Corinthian people. And Acts chapter 20 is where that is. And he was preaching in the last... He went through the motions and he said, the last time that I'll see you is now. And so I want to give you some advice. And out of all of the things that the Apostle Paul could have told these Corinthian people, he wanted them to be happy. And he wanted to give them the secret of being happy in their life. And in verse 35 of chapter 20, he says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Wow. If you were going to give your last words to somebody that you loved, would it be that? It is more blessed to give than to receive? Do you know that the Lord Jesus said more about giving and more about money than just about any other subject in the Bible? You read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and I went through it just yesterday, and I just circled all of the verses that talk about giving of yourself. There's at least 20 verses that I circled. Wow. He could have said anything, but the most important thing that he could think of, what it is more blessed to give than to receive. Most Christians never get it. The average person that says they're saved gives less than 4% of their income to the Lord. I hope that the average Christian here at Fairhaven is not in that category. I hope you have grown beyond that. I would be totally embarrassed if that's all that I gave to the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless as I speak for the next few minutes about the subject of giving. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me to say the things that you would like me to say and leave out anything you don't want me to say. And Lord, touch the hearts of the people. Lord, probably, I haven't been here every Thursday night, but every service this month, but Lord, probably most of the things that could be said from the Word of God about giving has probably been said. And so, Lord, what I want you to do is quiet our hearts so that we can listen to the Holy Spirit of God tonight. Help us to pay attention to you as you talk to us and as you lead us and as you direct us. I pray that everyone would look beyond the speaker and look to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the author and finisher of our faith. will be thankful and grateful for your help tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you know, he said, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus said that. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I wonder when he said that. Could it be that he said that when that little boy gave his 5 loaves and 2 fishes to the Lord? Could it be that he said that when he was standing there and the disciples and him, and they watched the little lady, the widow lady, put their 2 mites in the offering that day? I wonder if that's when he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Or maybe it was when that lady took that alabaster box of ointment and put that expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and washed it with her hair. Maybe it was all three. He maybe said it more than once. He maybe said it more than 3 times. He may have said it often enough, hoping that sometime it might sink in to a few hearts. You know, the Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. That's what my family, my wife and my daughter and I are trying to do, trying to get rid of our treasures. That's the reason we had that yard sale the other day. You know, to get rid of stuff. We're not going to take it with us. And it's probably not going to be too long before we're going to be gone and somebody else have to take care of all that stuff. So we want to get rid of it. But lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, or where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's where we need to lay up our treasures. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your heart? It ought to be, if you're a member of Fairhaven Baptist Church, it ought to be in the progress of Fairhaven Baptist Church. Your heart ought to be here. Everything that's done and everything that's accomplished here at Fairhaven ought to thrill your heart. Whenever Sunday evening comes and you baptize 1 or 2 or 3 or 5 or how many ever you baptize, man, you ought to just be sitting there and rejoicing about the ones that are getting saved and getting baptized and following the Lord. That ought to be an exciting thing to you. When you see the bus come by and you see, oh, look at all the people on the bus today. Wow, isn't that wonderful? And you had a part in it because your heart's here, because you're giving and you're giving and you're giving and you're giving and you're giving. And folks, giving is not just giving money. Giving is helping. Giving is giving of yourself to others. As somebody said one time, others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be, that even while I kneel and pray, my prayer shall be for others. And as you read the New Testament, you'll find that God wants us to be concerned about other people and about the needs that they have. And when you come to church, all of you can be a minister. Every one of you can. Now, we only have one pastor, but all of you can be a minister. And on the way to church, say, Lord, help me to be a blessing to somebody at church today. Somebody's hurting. Somebody's sad. Somebody got some bad news this week. Somebody needs help. Lord, help me to know who it is so I can be a blessing to them. So I can go up to them and say, hey, brother, I'm praying for you. Hey, brother, you look awful tired today. Are you worn out? And have a word of prayer with them. Encourage somebody. Be a help to somebody here at church. Once in a while, God may tap you on the shoulder and say, give them something. And you'll reach in your pocket and you'll pull out a 20 or a 100. Or you'll give them something, some kind of monetary gift. And say, God just laid it upon my heart to give this to you. Has God ever laid that on your heart to help somebody like that? I know a couple of you has. God's laid it on your heart because a couple of you have given me money. But I'm just saying that God will lay it upon your heart at times to go. Now, you don't use your tithes and you don't use your offerings for that. But that's above your tithes and offerings. When God lays it on your heart And folks, you would not believe, you would not believe it unless you've done it, how God rewards you and pays you back when you do that. Whoa, I could spend the rest of the night tonight telling you illustration after illustration of something God led me to do and then how the blessings started coming in. Man, do you believe Malachi? No, many people try to explain away tithing, saying things like, oh, it's only in the Old Testament. Of course, they probably haven't even read the New Testament because it's in there too. You know, but however, these people that aren't like that, they're just stingy guts and so on. And you know that they wouldn't tithe if it said in the Bible that you had to tithe to be saved. Now, it doesn't say that, but there's some, they've just made up their mind that they're not going to do it. And they try to explain it away. You can make the Bible say anything you want if you switch things around enough. Do you know, Brother Dameron, the Bible says Judas went out and hung himself. Do you know it also says, go down and do likewise? Do you know what else it says? Whatever thou doest, do thou quickly. So everybody ought to go out and hang themselves real quick. But you don't interpret the Bible that way. You believe what it says. Do you know, of course, Adam's son, Abel, began to tithe. How did he learn about it? He must have been taught it by Adam. Where'd Adam hear about it? God must have taught Adam about giving to God. I'm sure that that principle came from God himself. It's in the Word of God. I believe there's a direct correlation of spiritual power and a person's attitude toward money. Now, do you know that it's not only the pastor that needs the power of God? Every Christian needs the power of God. You need it. All of you ladies need the power of God upon your life. All of you men need the power of God upon your life. All of you godly teenagers need the power of God upon your life and so on. And so remember, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if you put your treasure in the right place, God's going to get a hold of your heart. And man, you're going to be a powerful, powerful Christian throughout your life. You know, Abraham tithed. Genesis 14:20, and he gave him tithes of all. Jacob was a tither, Genesis 28:22, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth to thee. Moses was a tither, all the tithe of the land is the Lord's, it is holy unto the Lord. Malachi taught tithing in Malachi 3, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings, God said, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. And by the way, the biblical storehouse is the local New Testament Bible-believing church. This is where your tithe ought to be. So on. You don't go down here to McDonald's and get a meal and then go over to Burger King and pay for it, do you? You come here to church and the preachers get up and preach their heart out. And then you go send your money to some TV preacher. You're an idiot. You want to give your tithes and offerings here at the local New Testament Bible-believing church. And he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. Not many times that the Lord says that in the Bible, but here's one. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. If I told you that I just won the lottery, millions of dollars I've got. Now, that's a lie. I didn't do that. You got to buy a ticket in order to win the lottery anyway. Now, you probably won't win if you did buy a ticket, but you can't win at all if you don't buy a ticket. But I'm not saying you ought to buy it. Don't buy a ticket. But anyway, we're pretending right now that I won the lottery. Okay, and I came here and I told you, so listen, I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. You tithe for a year. And if God does not bless you more than what you tithed, I'll pay it all back to you and give you extra. He says, man, that sounds like a good deal. Will you do that? You say, oh yeah, preacher, I'll do that. How come you'll believe me and you won't believe God? I'm probably lying. God's not lying. The end of the year, you come up to me and say, well, I was just kidding. I just joking. You know, I'm not going to do that. See? But God's not. God's telling the truth. Wow, how God blesses. And boy, I could just tell you how God has blessed my life over and over and over and over and over again. So, do you know that no one has ever possessed more than Jesus? He created everything. You sing the song, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You know, the wealth in every mine and all the stuff. And you know, God made it all. And since he made it all and it's all his, but you know that he gave it all too. Gave it all up. Gave his life. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Do you know that out of all the preachers in the world, I probably have gone through some of the poorest times financially of preachers. I mean, remember, I started preaching when I'm getting $10 a week. And I mean, that was a total salary. I was full-time. And I put $5 a week back in the offering. I had to see God bless because I couldn't live on $10 either. So I had to trust God. And I've seen God, but to tell you what, I am rich. I am rich. We got Michael as a grandson. Got Andrew as a grandson. The guy sitting next to him is not a grandson. But I have Melody. I have Cherith. I have Autumn. And 21 more of them. And they all love the Lord. And I'm praying that every one of them would give their total life to the Lord, serve God, And I've asked God to let me live long enough to see them all come to college. Now we have one that backslid, and he's going to Hiles Anderson this year. He's not. He's a good kid. He loves the Lord, and he's going to Hiles Anderson. So I'm thrilled about that, and thrilled that he's going to school to prepare his life to serve God. But you know, no one has had as much as Jesus has had, but no one's ever given as much as Jesus gave. No one. You know, those who choose to live their lives giving to the Lord and others find real joy and real happiness. The songwriter said, if you want to be happy the rest of your life, get an ugly woman to be your wife. But God says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give unto you. Real joy and real lasting happiness comes from serving God and serving others and doing things for people and giving. Do you know that we should teach poor people to give? If you're here tonight and you're poor, the way to get more is to give. That'll work. If we don't teach them to give, they'll always be poor. But when you teach him to give, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6:7 says that. You be a stingy gut your whole life, and you'll live your whole life in sorrow and heartache and being ashamed and being sad and not have happiness and joy in your life. Man, you ought to be able to wake up in the morning and look outside and say, "Woo, it's a pretty day today. Lord, what can I do for you today?" Galatians 6:9, just two verses down from the one I just quoted. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Give, and it will be given to you. Man, give. Learn to give. Learn to give more, and learn to say, God, how much do you want me to give? And then obey God. Obey God. We need to learn to listen to God and obey him. Test God out and see if he'll not bless you. Jesus taught tithing where he said, woe unto you in Matthew 23:23, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you have done, ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Now there's important, you know, having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and getting born again, that is higher on the pole than giving. But you can't love God and not give. You know, you give to those whom you love. If you never give your wife anything, she knows you don't love her. If you never give your kids anything, they know you don't love them. But if you love them, you give to them. And God knows you don't love Him if you don't give to Him. And you come to church and the offering plate's given. It ought to be one of the most exciting times of the service when you have the opportunity to put your offering in there. Now, folks, I want you to know that I'm not a member of Fairhaven Baptist Church. You might say, well, why not? Well, I'm a member of Lyons, New York, Maranatha Baptist Church. And there in Lyons, New York, the last church that I pastored. They made me a pastor emeritus, whatever that means. Dr. Vogelin, you'll have to explain that to me, what that means and so on. But pastor emeritus, you know, they made me and whatever. And I'm praying for that church. And I put a lot of money in that church. I put a lot of time in that church. And I'm praying that God will help that church to revive and get back on fire for God again. But I'm not a member here. But man, if I was a member here, I give. Now I do give to things here at Fairhaven, and it's not important for me to tell you what I give or what I give you here, but I do. Paul taught tithing and he taught giving extra. In 1 Corinthians 16:2, he says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you. Now we might say, now listen, in 2 weeks, from tonight or whenever it is, let every one of you, every one of you, make a plan for your tithes and offerings. And you ought to start praying, saying, God, what do you want me to give? How much do you want me to give? And you listen to God and do what God says to do. And now first, whenever you listen to Him and He tells you, you'll think that you misheard. Because God's going to tell you a higher figure than what you had in mind. And then you just need to give what God tells you to give. Do you know that giving or give is in the Bible more than 1,550 times? And there are over 2,000 verses that deal directly about giving. And there's hundreds more that deal with giving indirectly in the Word of God. 32 parables in the New Testament Jesus gave, 16 of them have to do with giving. Don't you think that that's a... See, God knew that where your heart is, that's where your treasure's going to be. And if your treasure's not in the Lord's work, then your heart must not be in it either. Most people have never believed the Scripture that it's more blessed to give than to receive. No one has ever become poor by giving. Did you get that? No one has ever become poor by giving. You know what the Bible says? It says we reap what we sow. We do. Can you imagine a farmer coming to his pasture and saying, Pastor, would you pray for me that I would have a bumper crop this year? And if God answers that prayer, preacher, then next year I'll plant some seed. You'd think, that guy is crazy. How do you expect God to bless you if you don't ever do anything for God? How can you expect God to answer the scripture and give to you good measure and pressed down and running over? How do you expect God to answer that if you never give? Now, I'm not talking about just giving to the church, but giving when God taps you on your shoulder and says, hey, Mr. So-and-so over there, he's having a tough time. Give him $50. Now, you might think in your own mind, I need the $50 more than he does. But if God lays it on your heart, you ought to just obey him. Do it. Do it. And then you'll see how God, man, you know, many times God has done that to me and said, do this, and I've done it, and God gave it back to me before I ever even got home. It's amazing. You know what will happen after a while? You'll say, well, I gave that guy $100. I really needed it bad, but I'm just excited. I wonder what God's going to do and how he's going to give it back to me. I mean, folks, and you say, I knew it was going to happen. Look at there. You know, tithing and giving is for our benefit. It's not for God's benefit. He already owns everything. It's to help you and me. Tithing helps us keep from being selfish. So many people are selfish today. I mean, unselfish people make better husbands and better wives, better fathers and better mothers and better children. Teach your children to be unselfish. You know, when they're little and some neighbor kid comes over, one of the other families or something, no, you can't play with that. That's my toy. That's when they need to learn to share their toys. You know, do you know what? The Bible says, if you want to get close to God, you draw nigh to God. He says, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. If you want to get where God's heart is, that's giving. Start giving. Start giving heavily. Start giving to God. And you don't have to advertise to anybody what you gave because God knows it. God sees from heaven and he's going to reward you openly for giving to him. As a draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you in James chapter 4, verse number 8. So no Christian will ever be greatly used of God until they learn to give and obey the Holy Spirit. Obey the Holy Spirit of God as he talks to you. Now, people generally do not like to hear about money. But people that give love to hear about preaching on money. So if you don't like this message, pretend. Otherwise, you'll be found out. Come up and say, man, that was the best message. Then nobody will figure it out. But I want you to know that God knows, no matter what. People do not generally like to hear about money, and our sinful nature wants us to receive. That's what our sinful nature wants. But God's nature is give. The more you're like Jesus, the more you'll give. Of yourself and your money, and to others. When you get saved, the Bible says, old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That includes your pocketbook. Greed and covetousness and selfishness ought to be replaced with generosity and giving. Do you know, I've been to a lot of churches, and a lot of churches will have a sign up, the friendliest church in town. What if you were known as the givingest church in town? Wouldn't that be a great thing? Wouldn't it be great if all of your neighbors knew you as, man, those guys are givers. They're always giving people stuff. You'll never have much success in the Christian life until you get this thing of finances and giving straightened out in your life. Learn the secret of giving. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure. Now, folks, think about that phrase there. With the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. With the same measure. You just are a little bit generous, that God's just going to be a little bit generous to you. If you're really a lot generous, God's going to be a lot generous to you. Think about it. That's what it says. Now, when I was pastoring in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, way back in 1969, we had a missions conference. Now, our church, the way that we did it in our church there is we had what they called faith promise missions. You may not know what that is because you do it a little bit different here, and you can do it however God leads your pastor to lead you to do it. But we did it through faith promise missions there in our church. And remember, I was making $10 a week, putting $5 a week back in the offering. We had our first missions conference. And we told the people, said, now let God speak to everybody. You kids, let God speak to you and tell you what He wants you to give to missions. And you teenagers, you let God speak to you. And you wives, you let God speak to you. And you husbands, let God speak to you, and so on. And I told my wife, I said, sweetheart, we're having a missions conference. Now, I don't know what God's going to tell you that you need to give to missions every week, but let me just tell you ahead of time, you're not getting anything from me. I'm not going to pay your missions. If God tells you to give to missions, you're going to get it from God. You're not going to get it because I don't have any money. I mean, it's all I can do to spend $5 a week and buy enough groceries for you guys. So we had our missions conference. And at the end of the missions conference, I said, well, sweetheart, did God ask you to give anything to missions? He said, yes. She said, yes. And I said, what did He want you to give? And she said, $2 a week. I thought, whoa, $2 a week? Where in the world are you going to get $2 a week? I mean, good night. Remember, I only get 10 and I put 5 of it in the offering. I only got $5 left and you want 2 of that? No, you're not getting 2 of it. And so she would start on Monday praying. And she would say, God, I need some money for our missions offering. And Lord, I don't have any money and I've got 3 kids. I can't go out and get a job. I've got to take care of the kids. And God, You've got to supply this missions money for me. And so they had a special at the thrift store. Every one day a week, you could go in and get a whole sack of clothes for 50 cents. As many as, that's how my wife got to be able to pack so good. She could get a lot of stuff in one bag. And we didn't buy our kids anything new, I don't think, until they were teenagers, maybe not even then. I'm not exaggerating. Talk to my wife. I mean, I'm telling you the truth now. I'm not just preaching. But so she'd go to the thrift store and she'd stuff this bag full of clothes. And came home, and then she gets it all home. She lays them all out on the table or the bed or something, you know, and going through all the pockets. Guess what she found in one of the pockets? $2. I wished I'd have kept a journal for the whole year. Man, that would make a great sermon. Illustration, anyway. And another week, I go out and get the mail. My wife got a letter. From Omro, Wisconsin. I don't know anybody in Omro, Wisconsin. So I walk in the house and say, sweetheart, you got a letter. I guess it's from your boyfriend. There's no name on the envelope or anything. I give it to her. She opens it up. And there's a white piece of paper in there wrapped around $2. Week after week after week after week after week, God provided her $2 for the missions. And you know what? That increased my faith and helped me. And I started giving something to missions too. No, I already was. I was just joking. But I'll tell you what. I can just weep and rejoice and thank God for the things that He's done in our lives. But folks, you'll never experience anything like that until you start obeying the Holy Spirit. You start obeying the Holy Spirit of God and you'll see it happen over and over and over and over again in your life. In Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, when I became pastor of Bible Baptist Church, I owned 1965 GTO Pontiac convertible. Red with a white top. Chrome wheels, chrome air cleaners, chrome valve covers, four-speed Hurst transmission on the floor, Achille rubber and four gears. It was a hot rod, man. If I still had it today, it'd be worth way over $100,000. But I was pastoring in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. I was only 22 years old. If I would have been 30 years old and visited my church, I wouldn't have wanted me as a pastor. I was surprised that anybody wanted me as their pastor. But our church was growing and people added to the church. And I would take the teenagers out on a country road and we would go drag stripping down there, you know, and down the road. And man, we had teenagers love to come to our church. I was having a hard time getting adults though. And I said, Lord, I've got to get some adults. How in the world do you figure I could get some adults? He said, you could get rid of that GTO. Then the whole town wouldn't think that there's a hot rod preacher down there pastoring that Baptist church. I says, okay, Lord, I'll get rid of it. I love that car. It's amazing. We were in California when I was in college and I had the car and my wife went somewhere and she ran into a train with it. Actually, it died right on the tracks. And the train came and the car disabled the train. It broke some hose or what, and they couldn't even move it. But it didn't hurt the car very much at all. Now, my wife called me on the telephone and she was afraid that I was going to scream and yell at her about tearing up my car. And she called and I said, are you okay? Are you all right? And she decided she'd stay with me a little while longer because I didn't ask about the car. But there in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, I had to get rid of it. So I went to a car dealer and I traded it for a Chevrolet Caprice. Cream color. Came way down. And I went to the bank because they wanted it was a 68 and a 65 I was trading in. And they wanted some money. I never have ever gone to a bank before to get a loan. And they not even asked me how much I made. They didn't even ask me to fill out the material. It's amazing. I said, I need to borrow such and such a money. And the payments were $62.07 a month. 5, 10, 15, 20. I only made $20 a month after the tithes were taken out. How are you going to make $62.07 a month to pay for that car? And then feed your family too? Here's how you do it. Lord Jesus, I don't have any money, but I got to pay this car payment. Lord, you led me to get this car because before I looked like a big shot and I want to serve you and I want to honor you. Lord, you got to provide. And do you know that day after day, week after week, month after month, never was late on a payment? It's amazing. I wish I had kept a journal on that, on how God paid that payment every week, every month. But God is good. He'll take care of you also. He doesn't love me more than he loves you. He loves you the same amount. If you'll trust him, if you'll obey him, he'll provide for you too. If you do not tithe, then you need to make a vow to God that you'll start tonight. I'm going to tithe. And if you do tithe, you need to pray and say, God, would you lead me and direct me in what you want me to give? I'll do it. I'll be obedient to you. The greatest giver in all the world was Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, then you can trust this Savior that loved so much that he gave. and he'll save your soul and give you eternal life.